your feedback today on the question we discussed last week. Is President Trump making America great? And also a little addendum as well with all the drama this week. We'll talk about the Senate judiciary hearing regarding Judge Brett Kavanaugh. That's the topic of the day here on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Well, thank you for joining us today on the program as we discuss this topic and get your feedback today. It's going to be a lot of phone calls, emails, and so forth today in the program. Is President Trump making America great? And what you thought of the judiciary hearing this past week with Judge Brett Kavanaugh and his accuser of sexual assault back when they were teenagers. Before we get to that, last week on the program, we examined the question of, is President Trump making America great, as his campaign slogan was to make America great again. We first looked at whether America is or isn't a great nation and how humanistic on one side and Christian-based worldviews on the other arrive at diametrically opposed answers to that question. We also looked at Scripture to find out how God, the only one who really matters, how God defines a great nation. And a great nation in God's eyes is one where the leaders and the citizens and the laws revere and obey God. For example, we read 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who called by my name, that particular passage last week, and other ones, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's about how that nation treats God, basically, is what makes a great nation. And finally, we asked whether President Trump is making America great, assessing him on the broad criteria of national and domestic security, economic opportunity and prosperity, and third category was moral leadership. And my conclusion last week was that he is doing well on the first two categories, but falling short on the third with regard to moral leadership. And so this weekend on the Christian Worldview, we will hear your feedback on the question, is President Trump making America great? And on the somewhat related topic of the president's nomination for the U.S. Supreme Court, Judge Brett Kavanaugh. We'll hear your thoughts on what you made of the just incredible Senate judiciary hearing this past Thursday and into Friday, when a woman named Christine Blasey Ford has accused the judge of sexually assaulting her 36 years ago when they were both in high school, when he was 17 and she was 15. And now this has thrown the whole nomination process into a delay this week. There's going to be a FBI investigation. And it's been, as many people are calling it, just a circus, and it really has been. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. So I'm going to give you the phone number right here at the top of the program. We have some emails we already received after sending out the preview yesterday, so we'll get to some of those. But we'll also give you a chance to call in live to the program at 1-877-655-6755. 1-877-655-6755 is the studio number, and you can call in with your answers, your comments to those questions. Is President Trump making America great? And what was your thoughts on the Senate judiciary hearing? Who's telling the truth? How should America go forward with this impasse? It's a he said, she said situation, and with Brett Kavanaugh being nominated to the highest court in the country. Bobby, we'll get your calls and put them up on this board, and we'll try to get to as many as we can to now. And just a note, we want you to be brief today. We want you to, in 30 seconds, about 30 seconds, get to your point on answering one or the other of those questions. Just pick one or the other, and we'll go through as many as we can today on the program. So before we take our first callers of the day, let me just answer a couple of emails that came in after last week's program. The first was from a woman named Joanne. She said, good morning. I was listening to your program last week, September 22nd, and thoroughly enjoyed all the segments until you got to the final segment. And as I listened to it, the question came to my mind, what do you hope to accomplish by bringing up to your audience what they think about President Trump and whether or not he is making America great socially and morally. Do you think by discussing it that we could cause him to have those characteristics? Do you think by discussing it that we could cause him to, that it will become a united front to keep him in office that, for the most part, as you said, is doing an excellent job? I'm asking you to consider what is your desire to ask to this listening audience, what would be the purpose in discussing at length the things that we do not admire about a man that we have placed in office? Will this be an uplifting event? Whatever things are true, honest, just, that particular passage. Anyway, so why discuss, you know, why evaluate, is President Trump making America great? And why address any particular shortcomings that I guess I personally perceive, that you try to stay away from personal opinions on this program and try to keep it all very biblical, but why should I look at President Trump and say from a moral standpoint, he could do better? Well, I think the purpose of the program, as we say at the top of the program every week, is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news, the gospel, with those who don't know Christ. So the first part of that is sharpening the biblical worldview with regard to the president. In other words, if you don't do that, if you just kind of, you know, listen to him and just let everything go by and just accept everything he does and don't have any kind of evaluation of it at all, there's an extreme there you can easily fall into, just a tacit approval, affirmation of even when he does things that are wrong. So there you know, there's one just like on one side you can have this blind Republicanism where because he's a Republican and because he was, you know, he's not a Democrat or not a liberal or something like that. And if you're a Republican, that he gets the good treatment without any sort of critical, not in a bad sense, but a critical evaluation of what he's doing. So I think it's important, actually. I mean, he is a man after all. He's a fallen man. He's not above being reproved. And neither am I, or neither is anyone else. So in a sense, it can actually help him to have those around him who can biblically try to help him grow. Again, we're never beyond that in life. We should always be subject to some authority. That's how God designed this world and the church. No matter what your age, you should be under the authority of God's word, your elders at your church. In different aspects, of course, in family, there's structures of authority, husband over wife, parents over children. In the workplace, same thing, bosses over employees. This is the way God designed the world. And so when a man is completely puts himself out from under authority, that's a dangerous place to be. And I'm not saying I'm President Trump's authority in the least. All I'm saying is no one is beyond being evaluated and discerning how their lives and their words and their actions line up against what God's standard is. So that's why we did the program on his President Trump making America great. Okay, let's get to the second email, and then we'll get to the phone calls. This is from Jackie. She said, "Hi, I listened to your show weekly and have for several years. I was concerned about your announcement that President Trump is not, in your opinion, a real Christian. First of all, he is a sinner from birth. Second, he is a sinner to the day he dies. Third, so is everyone else that has ever lived except Jesus. Fourth, he claims Jesus. Most of us Christians today are secret followers. Fifth, he has accepted Jesus. He is saved by grace." And then she goes on to say, "God and Jesus have very often chosen people who, in our opinions, do not fit the perfect person for the jobs they have been chosen to do. Also, the methods God uses through them are not often the ones we righteous ones would choose." Put righteous in quotes, not saying she's righteous, but just those who are saved. I'm assuming that she's referring to. So then she said, "Jesus chose Matthew, a tax collector, not a good guy, hid from Jesus, was taken by the priest, and he had a lot of company and retreat. Peter was probably pretty rough around the edges." She gives all these examples from scripture. So the answer to this particular question is, the question here is, should we discern someone else's salvation? The first one is, why should we even discuss this topic? And the answer to that is because we need to have a sharp biblical worldview about our leaders. You know, in other words, it informs us how to vote. It informs us, it helps us learn how we should live our lives. No one's above not being evaluated, just given a blank slate to live and do whatever they want. We need to be discerning. The second question is, should we discern someone else's salvation? And the answer is, of course. Because if that person's not saved, if we discern that someone is not truly saved as we look at their what they say and how they live, well, they need to be saved. And if we just assume that people are saved by just professing it, that's a very dangerous place to allow someone to be. Now, Jesus did this in Scripture. You look in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter." And he says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?'" And then Jesus said, "I will say to them, 'Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you.'" So Jesus was, and of course, he's perfect, so he's not exactly the way we can be, of course, with discerning whether someone's truly saved or not saved, but he emphasized how that discernment's important of looking at someone else who professes to be a Christian and whether their profession actually matches what they possess. Do they possess genuine saving faith? Again, the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew chapter 13. There's the church is made up of wheat, true believers, and tares, professing believers who are not truly saved. And Jesus said, that's just a fact. That's the way it's going to be. You can discern it. Don't try to separate it all out. God will do it in the end. We don't need to go around, you know, pointing people out who aren't saved. But for ourselves, we do need to be exercising that discernment because we're trying to clarify what genuine saving faith is. In other words, genuine saving faith will start with someone who's genuinely saved will definitely profess it. They'll definitely say, you know, I believe in Jesus as my savior. That's some that's basic. Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, that's the mark of a believer, that they'll at least confess it. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to when they talk about how they were saved. Well, they talk about their own sin and that they needed a savior. Will they be repentant over their sin? Will they want to pursue righteousness in life? Will they talk about faith alone in Christ alone as being how they were saved? Not faith in Christ plus, you know, I was baptized and I went to church a lot and I walked an aisle or I raised my hand in an event. That, to me, casts doubt into someone's salvation. The object of salvation is one person alone in Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner and Jesus is a great savior. That's the profession someone will give when they are genuinely saved. And then you look at the fruit of their life. Is there obedience in their life to God's word? Is there an increasing sanctification? Is there a love for the word of God, for fellow believers, a love for righteousness? Is there a fruit of the Spirit being exhibited in their life? So you take all those things together, and I look at President Trump's life. Yeah, he may be, I know he's a professing Christian, but I don't see that kind of fruit in his life. Now, I don't know him personally, but that's just my personal opinion that if I were around him, I wouldn't be assuming he was a true follower of Christ. I mean, might be more in a gospel presentation mode rather than an assumption that he's saved. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. Social justice is a gospel issue. This has become the mantra of many evangelicals. Rectifying perceived inequities of race, gender, sexuality, poverty, immigration, amongst others, is considered a top priority. But what exactly is social justice? Is working for social justice a biblical mandate, an application of the gospel? Kel Beisner has written an insightful booklet entitled Social Justice: How Good Intentions Undermine Justice and Gospel. Also included in this revised 44-page booklet is a copy of the just-released Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. You can order the Social Justice booklet for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. For when Christians have a stronger faith and when unbelievers come to saving faith, lives and families and churches, even communities, are changed for the glory of God. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry. You can help us in our mission to impact hearts and minds by making a donation of any amount or becoming a monthly partner. All donations are tax deductible. You can give online at thechristianworldview.org or by calling us toll-free 1-888-646-2233. When you give, we'd like to thank you by sending you a current resource. Monthly partners can choose to receive resources throughout the year. Call 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for joining us today on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Lots of resources there right now that are new. The social justice booklet, which includes a statement on social justice and the gospel, is now available for a donation of any amount. Of course, the DVDs by Mike Gendron are still available. You can even hear the audio of the golf and dinner event recently. It's posted online there at thechristianworldview.org. Today, we're talking about getting your feedback. This is sort of part two of last week's program, is President Trump making America great. 2 years into his term here, we're evaluating how the president is doing from a biblical perspective, trying to understand not just purely from a Republican perspective, but more from a biblical perspective. And also, we added one element to this for your feedback today, and on the Senate judiciary hearings with Judge Brett Kavanaugh, which was just amazing to watch over the last couple of days. So what we'll do is we'll take the phone calls first on President Trump, that topic, and then we'll get into the Kavanaugh hearings as well. So if you're on the phone hanging on for the Kavanaugh hearings, just hang on a little longer. Let's get to the Trump phone calls first. Let's go first to Marysville, Ohio. And Mark, thanks for joining us on the Christian Worldview. Is President Trump making America great?
You're real fuzzy, and I can't hear you hardly at all. Can you say it one more time?
Yeah, just go ahead with whether President Trump is making America great.
Financially and economically, yes. But the thing to consider is something Alexis de Tocqueville said. He was the one that came up with the phrase, America is great because America is good. That was almost 200 years ago when the French historian Alexis de Tocqueville toured America. But right before that, the sentence before that is, not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. He went all over. He went to the Congress. He read the Constitution. He went to the universities. He says it's not there. It's in the pulpits. Donald Trump doesn't have the ability to make us morally and spiritually good. It's up to our pastors to start preaching the truth. They need to get Bill Hybels and Rick Warren and these other celebrity preachers out of their system. They need to get back to the Word of God and start calling people to holiness, because the one thing Donald Trump can't do is solve this problem we have with pornography, for one, in our churches. Josh McDowell's documented it. We've got a huge problem with immorality in the churches. Donald Trump cannot touch that. He can do a great job economically and, you know, in government. But it's up to the pastors to start calling the people to true biblical holiness and righteousness, to start expounding the Word of God, and to put Jesus Christ first.
Mark, I appreciate that call. And you brought up an excellent point by Alexis de Tocqueville. I love that quote. I think it's so true. And I completely agree with your sentiment. President Trump's not going to be able to sanctify this nation that comes from pulpits, the preaching of the Word of God. And yet at the same time, let me just slightly differ on it. You see, like in the kings of Israel back in the day, when there were the righteous leadership of the kings of Israel, it changed the social structure of the country. People weren't easily led into idolatry and immorality that they would be led into when there was unrighteous kings. Now, it may not be a direct correlation between that, but I think there is something to even political leadership outside the church realm, that when there's a leader who leads righteously, it does have an impact on the people. But you're right. It's not going to be, he's not going to end the scourge of pornography. He's not going to be able to do what the preaching of the word of God does to people. So I do really agree with that, although I think it'd be better for the social fabric of this country if he wasn't so divisive, at least in his rhetoric, and the way he sort of has a scorched earth interpersonal policy. Thinking what he said about John McCain, you know, I don't like people who get captured, or he's criticizing his attorney general, or just, you know, when there's a fight going on, it's you know, it's hard for, like, John McCain, now that he's passed away, would never want to be on the side. I mean, it hurts the president to have that sort of conflict going on, because you need to have some people working together to get some laws passed or whatever policies they're trying to enact. And when you alienate people so much in the way you talk about them, you know, they're just never, it's just never going to come around. Okay, let's go next to, Ardmore, Oklahoma, and Kenny. Thanks for calling the Christian Worldview. Is Trump, President Trump, making America great? Are you there, Kenny? Okay, we'll move on to someone else. We'll get Kenny back. I think he was there. Let's go next to Dean in Ohio. Dean, is President Trump making America great? Go ahead.
Yes, he is. And I think that this moral critique of President Trump is not helpful. I'm a Christian. I believe that Christians must be holy. Our leaders need to be good examples. But it comes across as preening. And it's like some general coming up to the front lines, and these guys have been up there for weeks fighting and dying, and the general says, "All right, everyone up for a uniform inspection. You're filthy." It just, my uncle fought under Patton. He was wounded in the Battle of the Bulge. And Patton had his enemies. U.S. Grant had his enemies. Remember what Lincoln said to U.S. Grant? He says, "I cannot spare this man. He fights." And even Samson, what kind of example was he? God didn't intend for him to be dissolute like he was. But, you know, have you ever given President Trump credit for his teetotaling?
Absolutely. I said many positive things about the president last week on the program. Today is the listener's chance, but I said that he was doing many things good. Matter of fact, I voted for this president. He wasn't by any means my first choice amongst all the 17 candidates. There are other candidates that I would have preferred, but I voted for him. So it's not like I have any sort of animus toward him. But I also, and thank you for your call today, Dean. I also think it's not, I mean, I think about the scripture. Like, what did John the Baptist do with Herod at the time? And he literally confronted him about his immorality, and he got his head, basically he lost his head over it because Herod's wife was so offended over it. Was that the wrong thing for John the Baptist to do? Was it preening for him to do, to confront Herod? Now, I don't know President Trump personally, so I can't confront him, but if I was a friend of his, if I knew him personally, I would definitely tell him, you know, I think you should try to be more winsome interpersonally. Don't cut people off of the knees. Don't put tweets out that really hurt your own cause and distract from the good things that you're trying to do. So I definitely would do that. And I think there's scriptural support for that. Otherwise, we look at him and just say, you know what, we need to overlook all the bad things. I mean, I hope you're not applying that to the, if you have children, raising your children, when you look at the example of President Trump and saying, oh, just give him carte blanche for him to live and act the way he wants to. No, we all are examples. I'm not a perfect person at all. I sin all the time. And I want to make sure that, you know, the goal of the Christian life once you're saved is sanctification, increased holiness. And I want people around me who know me to come up to me and say, David, you need to do better in this area. You're falling short in this area. It's not Christ-like in this area. I want that. And I don't think it's beyond the pale to evaluate the president somewhat in that manner. And in my heart, boy, I'm not trying to be hypercritical of the man at all. I really appreciate so many of the things he's doing from a standpoint of national and domestic security. I think he's really fulfilling well the primary priority that God gives a leader is to protect a nation, to protect its citizens, and to create a safe and stable society. Romans 13, other places in Scripture. He's done that pretty well economically. I think he's giving people not guarantees, but opportunities. You know, it's become a more prosperous nation. And when you're a prosperous nation, that gives you a presence in the world that helps really all people. I know they say just the 1% it helps. Well, it helps all people because some of the people who are the 99% get jobs from the 1%. They're able to feed their families. It's the social and moral standpoint that I don't think he's terrible on, not completely condemning him from front to back. It's just I think he could do better in that regard. Let's go next to, let's see if we have any more calls. Okay, let's go back to Ardmore, Oklahoma, and Kenny. Kenny's back in the line. Kenny, thanks for your call today. What is your thoughts on, is President Trump making America great?
Good morning, David. I hope you can hear me okay.
I hear you just fine. Go ahead.
Okay, we need this discussion very much. This is a very important discussion you're having. Those that say we don't need to have this discussion, what would they rather talk about, their favorite TV program or favorite ball game and ball team, which, by the way, is a big problem in our church today, one of the biggest problems, actually, outside of prayer and seeking God through prayer and fasting. The church is so involved in television and ball games. But back to the point, I am so thankful that Donald Trump is our president. I praise God and the Lord Jesus Christ that Hillary Clinton is not president, or we could have some preachers involved in their prison ministry, that is, being locked up for preaching against homosexuality. But I'll be honest with you, David, I don't think that President Trump is making America great again because of this very issue, because I don't think that President Trump wants to address the issue of homosexual marriage, and therefore America cannot be great as long as homosexual marriage is legal in the United States of America. But President Trump is doing a lot of good things.
Yeah, Kenny, I appreciate your call. I think that's a balanced perspective. He's doing a lot of good things. You know, maybe abortion isn't expanding. The homosexual agenda isn't mowing down Christians, but I think he's slowed it down a little bit and giving a preview. You can see some of the court cases have been going more toward the Christian side in these particular incidents. We'll come back. We'll take a few more calls potentially on President Trump, but we'll also get to the Judge Kavanaugh hearings. That's next on the Christian Worldview.
In his DVD, The Death of Discernment, Mike Gendron uses this apt analogy from A.W. Tozer.
Red cells are like faith. They carry life-giving oxygen to every part of the body. White cells, on the other hand, are discernment. They pounce upon dead and toxic matter and carry it out of the body. Each member in the body of Christ is a white blood cell. We need to identify doctrinal error and make sure it gets out of the body. That's the only way that the body of Christ can remain strong.
The Death of Discernment DVD contains two messages by Mike Gendron. You can order it for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $15 plus shipping. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly Email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
back on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton. We're talking today about getting your is President Trump making America great, and getting your feedback on that particular topic, and what you also made of the judiciary hearings with Judge Brett Kavanaugh. We'll get to that in just a second here. Just a couple more emails before we transition. Pat from Colorado Springs writes by email, "We don't elect saints. We as Christians elect people we think can do what's best for America as founded. That's important, as founded, following the founders' principles of limited government, individual liberty, and individual responsibility, and to be vigilant keepers of these principles. In my opinion, President Trump is doing more on this count than any other president in recent times, and this, in spite of the host of enemies on every side of him. In my opinion, as a Bible-believing Christian, it would be a serious mistake to vote for someone just because he or she is a Christian or claims to be one, or to not vote for someone just because he or she is not a Christian. President Trump needs our prayers for safety, wisdom, and godly counsel." Very true. "He doesn't need our condemnation." And that was from Pat in Colorado Springs. James, not sure where he wrote from, but he said, "The election of Donald Trump saved us from a takeover from the Marxist left. I believe he is starting to make America great again. I believe that all the forces of evil are arrayed against Judge Kavanaugh because he will tip the court back to conservative values. If this man can be taken out, there is no hope that any principled man will ever dare run for office or a major position in government." So thanks to all of you who gave some of these insightful comments today in the program. Just one last comment on, is President Trump making America great, and the element of his moral leadership. You know, I listened to his any of his press conferences, or but I listened to particularly the one that he gave on, I think, last Wednesday or Thursday at the UN. And I don't know how, as a Christian, as much as, you know, there are things, again, there's many positive things he's done, even the appointment of the two Supreme Court justices, the way he tries to protect this country. He's for America. He's not against it. I mean, there's just no comparison between what he advocates for is much more in alignment with what a biblical worldview is for government than those on the left, like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. There's just no, it's just the separation is just gigantic. So have that as a context of what I'm going to say here. But at the same rate, as a Christian, I cannot sit there and watch the president. He is incredibly arrogant and narcissistic. Just, I did this, I did that. It makes me cringe as a believer, because we're not to be proud and arrogant. A man's pride will make him low, the Bible says. That is one of the worst qualities you can have is pride. It takes away from God's glory. God opposes the proud, it says in Scripture, but gives grace to the humble. I mean, if there's one quality of President Trump that I'd like to see him change, it's that one. Just forget it. Just forget the great glowing words about yourself. Let another man praise you and not your own lips, the Bible says. So just lead with humility. And I know President Obama was just as arrogant in a different, more subtle way. I get that. But that doesn't make them both, you know, doesn't make it both okay for being that way. I don't agree with the adage in life, you know, if someone else is going to tell people what you're doing, you have to do it yourself. I don't agree with that. That's not a biblical sentiment. So in conclusion to this, and you all, I appreciate all your feedback today, and you can email me, of course, more at our website, feedback@thechristianworldview.org. I think we need to, this is an important discussion to have. It's not something we should just be overlooking, like just give the man a blank check to be the way because he's better than the other side. No, we need to evaluate and be discerning because for our own lives and raising our own families, we don't want to be just an absolutist in life. Our guy's in, therefore, you know, there's no helpful critique of what he is from his policies or as a person. Okay, let's move over to the Judge Brett Kavanaugh hearing. So this past, I don't know, in case you missed it, which I would probably have been hard to do this past week, President Trump, and one of the very good things he's done with Neil Gorsuch, and now he's got a second Supreme Court pick, and how incredibly important that is, and why I'm so thankful that President Trump is president, because he's the one making these picks and not Hillary Clinton, who would pick a much more leftist deconstructor of the Constitution for the Supreme Court. That's why elections matter hugely and why Christians should be engaged in voting. Not saying you have to vote for President Trump. you can look at it as in a binary way. Look, one of the two major candidates is going to win, so vote for one of the, you know, vote for one of the other. Which one's more, has a more biblical perspective for government? Now, it's not going to be maybe perfectly biblical like your pastor would, but which one's a binary choice. You can look at it that way, as I did in this last election, or I respect the people who don't look at it that way and say, you know what, I'd rather vote for a third party, or I'd rather do something else. That's up to your conscience. I'm not going to criticize someone's conscience for doing that. But there are a lot of Christians who look at it as a binary choice. One of the two is going to win, and I think that's a very defendable reason for voting for President Trump, even though he wasn't nearly one of my top choices from the Republican field. So he did do this good thing and has nominated two just judges who have a more originalist approach to how they interpret the Constitution. They're not going to be writing leftism, overwriting leftism over to the laws of our land. So, but this whole thing with Judge Brett Kavanaugh has turned into a complete fiasco. If you watched any of it on Thursday, there right before the vote was going to take place, Dianne Feinstein and the Judiciary Committee brought up this allegation of sexual assault by Kavanaugh to a woman named Christine Blasey Ford back when they were in high school on the East Coast. He was 17, she was 15. And she doesn't allege rape, but she alleges that he and another boy pushed her into a room and got on top of her, or groping her and so forth. Well, I'll tell you what I can play the soundbite of what she alleges, at least part of it. I'll let Christine Blasey Ford describe what she remembers back 36 years ago.
When I got to the small gathering, people were drinking beer in a small living room, family room type area on the first floor of the house. I drank one beer. Brett and Mark were visibly drunk. Early in the evening, I went up a very narrow set of stairs leading from the living room to a second floor to use the restroom. When I got to the top of the stairs, I was pushed from behind into a bedroom across from the bathroom. I couldn't see who pushed me. Brett and Mark came into the bedroom and locked the door behind them. There was music playing in the bedroom. It was turned up louder by either Brett or Mark once we were in the room. I was pushed onto the bed, and Brett got on top of me.
Okay, I'm not going to play the rest of it because it gets more and more graphic, but you can imagine the scene here that she accuses Brett Kavanaugh of doing to her when they were 17 and 15. And then she gave the testimony first in the morning. And then, you know, she's a PhD. I think she's a professor at Stanford or a college in California. And she had written a note to Dianne Feinstein, the Democrat ranking leader of the Judiciary Committee, about it. Dianne Feinstein held this note for like 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, and then brought it up at the last second because I think it's purely political, trying to delay this vote, try to besmirch Kavanaugh so that it would be delayed past the election, hoping the Democrats will win. And once they have a majority in the Senate, then it would be much more difficult to get a more conservative justice confirmed to the court. So that's where we are right now in this. Now, when Ford was questioned afterwards by the Judiciary Committee members, she was asked, are you 100% sure that this happened? Here's Dick Durbin, Senator Dick Durbin, asking her that question.
I'm asking you to address this new defense of mistaken identity directly. Dr. Ford, with what degree of certainty do you believe Brett Kavanaugh assaulted you?
100%.
Okay, so you have on one side a woman alleging sexual assault by Brett Kavanaugh when they were minors, when they were teenagers. And on the other hand, you had Brett Kavanaugh get up afterwards and give a very impassioned statement that he did not do this. This has become a sham. You're destroying my family. I mean, it was unbelievably riveting to watch both this man, this woman defend themselves and give their own opinion. But here's what Kavanaugh said when he about whether he did this to Christine Blasey Ford.
When this allegation first arose, I welcomed any kind of investigation, Senate, FBI, or otherwise. The committee now has conducted a thorough investigation, and I've cooperated fully. I know that any kind of investigation, Senate, FBI, Montgomery County Police, whatever, will clear me. Listen to the people I know. Listen to the people who have known me my whole life. Listen to the people I've grown up with and worked with and played with and coached with and dated and taught and gone to games with and had beers with. And listen to the witnesses who allegedly were at this event 36 years ago. Listen to Ms. Kaiser. She does not know me. I was not at the party described by Dr. Ford.
So he completely denies it. So you have two different versions here. One is an allegation of sexual assault. And Judge Kavanaugh said, I wasn't even at this party. Don't even know this woman. So who do you believe? And does it actually matter what a minor did at 17 and 15? He didn't rape her. Yes, he sexually assaulted her. Very serious. He has no record, no pattern of doing this as an adult. There's no allegations as an adult. 36 years ago, what do you do with this? And this has sent the country into a kind of apoplexy over, you know, how do we go forward here? Do we need to have another FBI investigation into this? So that's what they're doing now. And we'll get to your phone calls. I know some of you have been hanging on a long time, but Jennifer and others who want to discuss this, we'll get to your phone calls right after this last break of the day here on The Christian Real View. The phone number is 1-877-655-6755. 1-877-655-6755. Your calls in the final segment here on The Christian Real View. I'm David Wheaton.
Here's Mike Gendron previewing his DVD on apostasy.
We'll see how apostasy is the result of Satan's relentless attacks on the church. We'll also look at four steps that characterize a church's drift into apostasy. Then we'll look at the history of the church, a chronological development of the Roman Catholic religion and its drift into apostasy. And lastly, and most importantly, what are you and I to do in the midst of this great apostasy and the growing ecumenical movement?
The DVD is titled Roman Catholicism's Drift into Apostasy and contains two messages. You can order it for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $15 plus shipping. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331.
Social justice is a gospel issue. This has become the mantra of many evangelicals. Rectifying perceived inequities of race, gender, sexuality, poverty, immigration, amongst others, is considered a top priority. But what exactly is social justice? Is working for social justice a biblical mandate, an application of the gospel? Kel Beisner has written an insightful booklet entitled Social Justice, How Good Intentions Undermine Justice and Gospel. Also included in this revised 44-page booklet is a copy of the just-released Statement on Social Justice and the Gospel. You can order the Social Justice booklet for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. All right, final segment of the day here on The Christian Worldview. We've discussed some, is President Trump making America great? And we've moved on to now, what do you make of this Senate Judiciary hearing and the accusations by Christine Blasey Ford of sexual assault against Judge Kavanaugh? And where do we go from here? Well, Jennifer in Texas has been holding on very patiently. Let's go to her now. Jennifer, thank you for your patience. What are your thoughts on this issue of Kavanaugh and Blasey Ford?
Thanks for taking my call. I do think Trump is making America great again. And one of the ways he's doing that is by carefully choosing originalists, constitutionalist judges for the court. I did watch the testimony this week, and while I felt that Dr. Ford was sympathetic, I didn't find her credible. As a woman who works with women and has grown up around women, we can manipulate when we need to. As far as Judge Kavanaugh is concerned, I think he had every right to be as animated as he was, as people claimed they thought he was, in his defense. I think if any of us were falsely accused of such accusations, especially after leading the kind of life this man has, we would be just as upset as he is, if not more. I think the senators would be in the same position if they were him. And I could just sense his discomfort as he spoke about the allegation. You know, this is not somebody that normally thinks like that. His mind doesn't work that way. All of his personal, professional contacts that have spoken up in support of him say what a gentle, kind, supportive man he is. This just seems too out of character for him. And the timing, I think, is suspect. I don't buy it.
Very suspect timing.
Feel for his family. My heart breaks for them.
Yeah, Jennifer, thank you for your call. Good points all around. You watch this and you can just see the power of accusation, whether it's true or false, the power of accusation. Let me also say this, the power of alcohol. You know, there's been even outside this other people hinting, even Kavanaugh himself talking about drinking and beers, even mentioned in the last soundbite. And when he was asked in the judiciary hearing about, you know, have you ever drank to the point of, you know, passing out, he didn't really quite admit that, but it was like he wasn't really firm on that. And when there's that underlying doubt of someone who's drinking, even when they're young, people who, when you drink and you get drunk, you don't know what you're doing, you don't remember it. And so that has been the big doubt, the big issue of inducing doubt on the situation, because no one trusts someone who has been drinking heavily as to remember what they did. And so I think it's a good lesson for everyone listening today that I don't believe there's any good reason. Now, the scripture may say, don't be drunk with wine, so therefore you can drink wine or drink beer if you don't get drunk. Okay, that's up to your conscience. But I don't think there's any good reason to drink alcohol. I mean, what good reason is there? There's only bad things that can happen. And I think that has been a critical thing here with Judge Kavanaugh. I do not know about the man's character. I know what people have said about him. I do not know him personally. Again, it's the same thing with President Trump. He can get up there with his family and his two kids, and he has a judicial record and so forth, and we have testimonies from others. That's great. But I don't know whether he did this. I have no idea. There's no evidence from the woman that he did this. There's no corroborative evidence. Matter of fact, people said, I don't even know what this event is about, the people that knew her. So that's very difficult to overcome for her. And it has kind of destroyed Kavanaugh's reputation. So this is a mess, and the power of accusation, even 36 years later. And if it is true, and I'm not saying it is, if it is true this took place, and they find out it is, if more people come forward with, you know, sound evidence, I don't think they will. I think it's almost impossible to do. She doesn't even remember where the house was. She doesn't know how she got there. She got home. There's so many gaps in the story. But if it is, let's say it was true, and there was evidence for it. Just the biblical principle of your sin finding you out 36 years later, and what this man, you know, if he had done this back in high school as a minor, it's just wow. It's really, really a strong warning that we are to live our lives in the most righteous way from the very earliest days of our life. Okay, let's go next. See, Bobby, who else do we have? Okay, let's go next to Minneapolis and Bob. What are your thoughts on the Kavanaugh hearings?
I think the way the Democrats have mistreated Judge Kavanaugh have proven that they're the party that will engage in corruption, and they stand for policies that are terrible. They don't protect the baby in the womb. They want to redefine the biblical term of marriage, whereas Republicans, they want to protect the developing baby in the womb. They want to keep the biblical definition of marriage and not let government get involved in defining something they have no business getting involved in. You know, let's face it, that all this boils down to is if we obeyed God's standards regarding our use of our sexuality, we would not have all these problems with abortion, with the redefining of the biblical term of marriage. But they've redefined the term fornication to me, and obviously it means having sex with somebody you're not married to, the biblical definition of marriage, you know. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Bob, I appreciate your call. And I think one of the things you mentioned there was what this is all about, the issue of abortion. This is a sacrament to those on the left. Homosexuality and transgenderism is a sacrament. In other words, a highly important doctrine. And they know that that's something that just at their core is what they believe in, that a woman should be able to kill her unborn child if she doesn't want the child. And they know that Kavanaugh is someone who is pro-life. And so I know I've used this little, it's almost like a bullet point to understand the worldview of the left. So you have to understand that for the worldview of the left, they love the courts because that's an excellent way for them to easily progressive to get their leftist humanistic policies rather than through elections. You know, when you have justices who just interpret the law the way they want and they bend the law, that is the way they can make the progress towards their goal. The religion of the left is humanism. And humanism basically is life without God. It's a man-based life without God, getting out from under the authority of God. That is the religion of the left. Their authority is man. Man is God. Not God is God. Man is God. Their sacred text, their basis for what they believe is the words of educated man. Their church is the halls of government. That's where they practice their religion. The elders of their church are the leftist elite, like the Obamas and the Clintons and the men and women you saw in that Senate Judiciary Committee. They're the elders of their religion of humanism. Salvation to them and utopia are achieved through political activism. The sacraments, what they believe, their core doctrines of their faith of humanism are abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, multiculturalism, identity politics, environmentalism. These are the core doctrines of their faith. And their Messiah is a future world leader who will fix all the problems in the world and lead us to this life and peace utopia. That's the worldview that you're dealing with in the left today. And we do, as several of the emailers and callers said, we need to be praying for our president. Yes, I perceive that he has some flaws, but we all do. But he's doing some very, very good things as well. And he, above all, needs to have the prayers of Christians as we're commanded to do in Scripture. So let's commit to doing that because we do live in a changing and challenging America. But there is one thing we can always trust in and count on: Jesus Christ and his word. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, his word, and his son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. Or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.